The printer was still warm, the smell of ozone and cheap toner hanging in the air like a warning I was too tired to heed. It was 12:17 a.m., and the 16th floor of the Reynolds Tower was a graveyard of ergonomic chairs and abandoned dreams, lit only by the flickering fluorescent hum of the hallway. I shouldn't have been there. I should have been in bed, ignoring the phantom vibration of my phone, but curiosity is a terminal disease in the corporate world. I leaned over the tray, my eyes blurring against the stark white of the paper. The list. The one HR had been whispering about for weeks like it was some holy scripture instead of a death warrant for 300 families. Marcus, the head of HR, always kept his office door locked with a physical key. Old school, paranoid, effective, but he'd forgotten the networked printer in the communal bay was mapped to his desktop. One accidental click. One print all. And there it was. My name was on it. I felt the blood drain from my face, a cold, hollow sensation starting in my chest and radiating out to my fingertips. Elena Vance, senior analyst, severance, 12 weeks. I'd given 7 years to this firm. I'd worked through the flu, through my sister's wedding, through the slow erosion of my own self-esteem, and there I was, reduced to a line item between a guy who'd been hired last month and a woman who was currently on maternity leave. I looked at the timestamp at the bottom of the page, 11:00 p.m. Men. It was the preliminary draft. I stood there, the silence of the office pressing in on my eardrums, feeling the weight of the point of no return. If I walked away now, I'd be packing a cardboard box on Monday morning. Then the printer groaned again. It was a mechanical, guttural sound that sliced through the quiet. A second document began to slide out, the ink still tacky. I grabbed it before it even hit the tray. My heart was a frantic bird trapped in a ribcage of ice. I scanned the list. Vance, Elena, gone. My name was missing. I wasn't being fired. I let out a breath I didn't know I was holding. A jagged, pathetic sob of relief. But as my eyes tracked down the new list, the relief curdled into something far more toxic. Names had vanished. Names had appeared. It wasn't just a revision. It was a massacre of the meritocracy. Sarah Jenkins, the top performer in logistics, who just reported a safety violation, added to the terminated column. David Cho, the only person who actually understood our legacy code, gone. But then I looked at the retained list. It was a roster of the favorites, the women who spent their lunch hours in Marcus's office with the blinds drawn. The guys who went on those scouting trips to Vegas that never seemed to produce any actual clients. The common denominator wasn't performance, or tenure, or even salary. It was the midnight edit. Marcus was cleaning house. But he was only keeping the people who held his secrets or fueled his ego. The door to the executive suite clicked. I froze. The two lists crumpled in my hands. The heavy, measured tread of expensive Italian leather on the low-pile carpet echoed down the hall. Marcus. He was still here. He was supposed to be at his beach house in the Hamptons. But the monster was in the machine, finishing the job. I ducked behind a pillar, my pulse hammering in my throat. The smell of his signature sandalwood cologne beginning to drift toward me like a predator scent. I realized then that my name being removed from the list wasn't a mistake. It wasn't luck. He'd seen me. He'd seen me staying late. He'd seen the way I looked at him in the boardroom. Not with admiration, but with the quiet, observant neutrality of someone who notices the cracks in the foundation. Taking me off the list wasn't a gift. It was a leash. He was buying my silence before I even knew I had something to speak about. He knew I'd seen the first list. He knew I was the kind of person who checked the printer. Elena? His voice was a low, melodic purr that made the hair on my arms stand up. He wasn't surprised. He didn't sound like a man caught in the act of corporate sabotage. He sounded like a man welcoming a guest to a dinner party he'd been prepping all night. I stepped out from behind the pillar. The two versions of the truth clutched against my stomach. He was standing by the glass partitions, the city lights behind him turning his silhouette into something jagged and imposing. He didn't look at the lists in my hand. He looked at my eyes. "You're still here," he said, and it wasn't a question. He started walking toward me, slow and deliberate. I was just thinking about your department, about how hard it is to find people with discretion. He reached out, his hand hovering just inches from the papers I was holding. His fingers were manicured, the gold of his wedding ring glinting under the harsh lights. He wasn't going to snatch them. He was waiting for me to hand them over. He was waiting for me to choose. I looked down at the names of the people he was about to destroy. People with mortgages, kids, aging parents. And then I looked at my own name, safely tucked away in the retained folder of his mind. The stakes weren't just my job anymore. The stakes were the version of myself I saw in the mirror every morning. If I gave him those lists, I was one of them. I was a favorite. I was part of the midnight edit. If I kept them, I was a ghost by Monday morning. And Marcus would make sure I never worked in this city again. He had the reach. He had the power. He had the list. You know, Sarah Jenkins was never a culture fit, Marcus whispered, his breath smelling of expensive bourbon and the metallic tang of a man who enjoys the cull. And David. Well, David was expensive. We need to be lean, Elena. We need to be loyal. You understand loyalty, don't you? He was so close now I could see the fine lines of fatigue around his eyes. The only sign that he was human, but the eyes themselves were dead. They were the eyes of a man who had long ago traded his soul for a corner office and the right to decide who stayed and who went. He wasn't just changing a list. He was rewriting the reality of 300 people to suit his own narrative. I looked at the shredder at the end of the hall. It was a heavy-duty industrial model, the kind that turned secrets into confetti in 3 seconds flat. I looked back at Marcus. He was smiling now, a thin, predatory curve of the lips that told me he'd already won. He thought he knew me. He thought the fear of being Vance Elena, Severance 0 inches, was enough to make me his accomplice. My hand tightened on the paper. I felt the sharp edge of the page slice into my thumb, a tiny, stinging reminder that I was still alive, still capable of feeling something other than the cold, mechanical dread of the corporate machine. The Slack notification on my phone in my pocket buzzed a message from Sarah, probably asking if I'd finished the Q4 projections. The sound felt like a gunshot in the silent office. The 11 o'clock p.m. draft was a mistake, Elena, Marcus said, his voice dropping to a conspiratorial hush. Version is the future of this company. Your future. Just give me the papers, and we can go get a drink. Celebrate the new era. I didn't say a word. I couldn't. My throat was tight with a mixture of rage and a soul-crushing realization. I looked at the list one last time. I saw the names of the favorites, the ones who would spend the next year laughing at the water cooler while the rest of us drowned. And then I did the only thing I could do. I didn't give him the papers. I didn't run for the shredder. I walked past him, my shoulder brushing his expensive wool blazer, and I headed straight for the elevators. I heard him call my name, his voice no longer a purr but a sharp, jagged command that echoed off the glass walls. I didn't turn back. I hit the button for the lobby, the gold doors sliding shut on his furious, shadowed face. I walked out into the cool night air, the two lists folded neatly into my bag. By Monday morning, Marcus would have locked my accounts. He'd have security waiting at the door. He'd tell the board I stole sensitive data. He'd ruin me. But as I stood on the sidewalk, watching the lights of the Reynolds Tower glow like a funeral pyre against the black sky, I realized I wasn't the one who was trapped. I had the list. Both of them. And I knew exactly which favorite was going to be the first to find out what happens when the midnight edit goes public.